Well, we're continuing our study in the life of Elijah, and we're nearing the end. I trust we'll just have today and then next Sunday, and we'll be finished. We're going to take up with 1 Kings 22, beginning to read at verse 48 through 2 Kings chapter 1. And some say that actually this last section of 1 Kings should be part of 2 Kings. God knows, but you'll see how well it fits as these books transition. 1 Kings 22, beginning at verse 48. Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they did not go, for the ships were broken at Ezion-Geber. Then Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, "Let my servants go with your servants in the ships." But Jehoshaphat was not willing. And Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of his father David. And Jehoram, his son, became king in his place. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel and Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. He, that is Ahaziah, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. So he served Baal and worshipped him, and provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger, according to all that his father had done. Now Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. And Ahaziah fell through the lattice in his upper chamber, which was in Samaria, and became ill. So he, Ahaziah, sent messengers and said to them, "Go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I will recover from this sickness." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, and say to them, 'Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron?' Now therefore, thus says the Lord, 'You shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' Then Elijah departed. When the messengers returned to him, he said to them, 'Why have you returned?' And they said to him, 'A man came up to meet us and said to us, "Go, return to the king who sent you and say to him, "Thus says the Lord, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but shall surely die." He said to them, "What kind of man was he who came up to meet you and spoke these words to you?" They answered him, "He was a hairy man with a leather girdle bound about his loins." And he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he was sitting on the top of the hill. And he said to him, "O man of God, the king says, 'Come down.'" Elijah replied to the captain of the 50, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So he again sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he said to him, "O man of God, thus says the king, 'Come down quickly.'" Elijah replied to them, "If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So he again sent the captain of the third 50 with his 50. When the third captain of the 50 went up, he came and bowed down on his knees before Elijah and begged him and said to him, O man of God, please let my life and the lives of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Behold, fire came down from heaven and consumed the first two captains of the 50 with their 50s. But now let my life be precious in your sight. Verse 15. The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, go down with him. Do not be afraid of him. So he arose and went down with him to the king. Then he said to him, thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore, you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but shall surely die. So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. And because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place, in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Well, we began this study, this is, I believe, the 15th study. We were way back in 1 Kings 17. And if Elijah's ministry started when Ahab became king, that was over 22 years ago. So 15 studies to go over 22 years is not bad timing, don't you think? Ahab's death was recorded, if you look back in chapter 22. We read it last time about his death. And then we read today that his son Ahaziah becomes king in his place, and he would reign, rounded up to 2 years, but really not even 2 years. And we believe that was from 853 to 852 B.C. 853 B.C. Now, as we read chapter 1 of 2 Kings, you may have heard a phrase repeated three times. And that's where we're going to get our title today in the form of a question. Is there no God in Israel? This was the main thrust and the main problem with Ahaziah. He acted like there was no God in Israel. So as we read chapter 22 at the end, we read that Ahaziah walked in the way of his father and in the way of his mother and in the way of Jeroboam. Were those good people? No, they were extremely wicked, extremely evil, particularly with idolatry. And that's what they passed down to their son, the way of idolatry. So we'd like to learn, we have 7 lessons today. And the first is this, parents, beware. Our bad habits are easily learned by our children. Our bad habits are easily learned by our children. It's sobering. Now, by God's grace, we're not like Ahab and Jezebel and Jeroboam, but we could learn and we can be reminded by the actions of these parents that our bad habits and our sins can easily be learned by our kids. It's much easier to pass on wickedness than righteousness. As a matter of fact, our sins may be multiplied in our children. It's a warning to us as parents. And worse yet, our sins could ruin our children. It's a delight to be pregnant, to be expecting a child, but it's also sobering that this is an eternal soul that will never die. And what a great responsibility we have, and we all have fallen woefully short and have been bad examples. But as I try to remind myself, when our kids see our sin, let them see our repentance. And this man, Ahaziah, did not repent even to the end. Listen to Matthew Henry's warning. Unhappy, most unhappy parents are those that help to damn the souls of their children. Sobering business being a parent. We desire our kids' to be saved, their souls to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Our actions can contribute by God's grace to salvation, or on the flip side, even to damnation. Being a parent is sobering business. We need much grace. J.C. Ryle's booklet, An Encouragement to Parents, The Duties of Parents to Pray, to Live Out a Godly Life. Ultimately, it's God's grace, but we could be a means to harden our kids. Our examples speak volumes. And the parents that this man had were grossly wicked. Remember the type of man that Ahab was and the woman that Jezebel was and Jeroboam? They were the epitome of evil. It reminds me of the Pharisees. They were maybe not as bad as Ahab and Jezebel in one sense, but Jesus said about them, they say things and do not do them. Lord, forgive us parents because we say things and don't do them. But by the power of Christ, may our lives be worthy of imitation. We heard it about elders, but all parents, let us, by the grace of God, by the power of Christ, be an example of godliness to our kids. It's not the highest motive to godliness. It should be to please our Lord, but the souls of our kids are at stake in a real sense. While the downward spiral continues, this man walked in the ways of his parents, and then chapter 2, verse 1, there was a rebellion from Moab. The kingdom is collapsing. Ahab's kingdom is falling around the feet of his son Ahaziah. And then, randomly, providentially, Ahaziah fell through the lattice of his upper chamber. Maybe a lattice wall or even some type of floor that rotted out. Providentially, he fell and became extremely ill. We don't have the details, but he became so ill, he knew and he could foresee that he may die. So he sent messengers. He sent messengers and said to them, go inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, whether I will recover from sickness. This was the man that provoked the Lord to anger, 22:53. He now is provoking the Lord more because rather than turning to God, he turned to this god of Ekron, Baal-zebub. He should have turned to the Lord God Almighty, but he turned to this dead idol, Baal-zebub, and John has covered it in the past, maybe the god of flies, the god of the dunghill. We don't know for sure, but he was the god of Ekron, and he was a god that could maybe tell the future. So he wanted to send those messengers to go find out what the future held for him. Would he die or not? And just as information, Baal is first mentioned way back in Numbers 22, which was around 1450 BC. More than 500 years, 650 years, they had been dealing with Baal, generation after generation, and these different local deities. And Ekron was one of the five cities of the Philistines. You can find it on your map, just north of Gath. Remember Goliath of Gath? Well, this is Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. The god of Ekron. Lesson 2. See the folly of praying to gods who have ears but cannot hear. See the folly of praying to gods who have ears but cannot hear. Of course, referencing Psalm 115:6. This was one of those gods that was fake, that was not the living God, but was a dead God. Remember on Carmel, and the prophets of Baal cried out, hear us, for hours, and they cut themselves and they danced. And the phrase in the scripture says, but there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. It's the same for all false gods. There is no answer. There'll be no answer because they have ears and they cannot hear. They're dead gods. And further, the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me, besides me. They were breaking the clear command of God. And we've studied a lot about idolatry in 1 Kings and now 2 Kings. And remember, idolatry is alive and well today. And of course, who is the biggest idol in the world? Self. And America has perfected the idol of self. There are many other idols. But Ahaziah went to this idol, this false god, and he stood condemned by God for it. For his own sins and even the sins of his father. Remember, God had cursed Ahab and said that every male, both bond and free, will be swept away. So not only was Ahaziah going to be punished for his own idolatry, but also for the idolatry of his parents, and particularly his father. Well, verses 3 and 4, before the messengers even found Elijah, God was already sending Elijah to meet them. Verse 3, but the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Now therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but you shall surely die. Then Elijah departed. Miraculously, God told him to go and meet those messengers before they even found him. And he asked, and he will be asked, is there no God in Israel? Is there no God that you can inquire of for your life? Why are you going to Baal-zebub? He is dead. We want to learn from the lesson of Ahaziah, a bad character, how not to live. So let's put it this way in the third place. When we face disaster, let us not act like there is no God. Let us not act like there is no God. We cannot live as if there is no God. When we may face sickness, death, struggles, we cannot act like this character who clearly didn't believe in God, didn't seek God's face. He acted as if there was no God in Israel. We may not be an Ahaziah, but we can surely be warned by him when calamity strikes. Could we be those that are hand-wringers? Oh, no. Or those that panic, who have anxiety, who fret as if there is no God. And sometimes we do that. So when calamity strikes and things are all in disarray, we must repose and know that there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. So fretting is acting like there is no God. Let us learn from his bad example that we must turn to the true God. Where do we run for refuge? Do we run to Jehovah? Or do we run to other gods or idols? Food, sleep, hobbies, even people, good people. We should run to the God of the Bible. We should run to Christ. Hosea challenged the people of God. God was speaking and he said, my people consult their wooden idol, and their diviner's wand informs them, for a spirit of harlotry has led them astray, and they have played the harlot, departing from God. We have to be careful, because troubles can either push us to God or be hardening and turn us away. And we've seen it happen. People go through a trial and they're hardened to the Lord. And this man, Ahaziah, was hardened. But we always go back to 1 John 5:21. Little children, guard yourselves from idols. Idols are alive and well. Or as the writer to Hebrews put it, take care, my brethren, that there not be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. We can learn from Ahaziah. When we face a disaster, let us not act like there is no God. And we've all done it. We wring our hands and we fret and we get anxious, but we should not be that way. We have a God that hears us, that cares for us, that bears us up in his hands. What is the consequence? God takes idolatry seriously. He's a jealous God. What is Ahaziah's punishment for his idolatry? You shall surely die. You shall surely die. Does it remind you of another passage in the Bible? In the day that you eat the fruit, you shall surely die. Lesson 4. Behold, the wages of idolatry is death. It is no small sin. The wages of idolatry is death. Of course, I'm referring to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And by God's grace, we know him, and we will not face eternal death. But idolatry deserves death, and it's one of the sins that Christ had to die for. And we need to seize the power of Christ to put it to death. What idol do we need to tear down and destroy by the power of Christ? Again, we all have those remaining sins, those remaining idols that we need to get out a hammer or a bat and smash them. Destroy them by the power of Christ. Well, it ended, this passage ends with, then Elijah departed. He came and brought his message, then he departed. Well, those messengers have a word to give to Ahaziah, verses 5 through 8. When the messengers returned to him, to Ahaziah, he said to them, why have you returned? They came back so quickly. They said to him, a man came up to meet us and said to us, go return to the king who sent you and say to him. They're repeating God's message from Elijah. Thus says the Lord, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? The repetition of the words, therefore you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but shall surely die. He said to them, that is, Ahaziah said to the messengers, what kind of man was he who came up to meet you and spoke these words to you? They answered him, he was a hairy man. Unusual phrase. With a leather girdle. I think the translators need a better word here. Girdle? Not a word that we use for men. Maybe a kilt. But he had a leather girdle about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. He knew by the way he was dressed who it was. Girdle and all. He showed zero penitence. What a sad case. Even when facing death, all he can say is, what type of man said this? He just heard from the Lord God of Israel, and all he cares about is, who is this man? It's Elijah? Doesn't he sound like his father? Is it you, the troubler of Israel? Is it you, my enemy? Is it Elijah the Tishbite? That's all he cared about. He was an enemy to the throne, in their view. Did he even hear God's message? Lesson 5, flowing from this. Beware of hearing God's message without hearing God's message. Sort of a no-brainer lesson. Beware of hearing God's message without hearing God's message. He heard the words, but he didn't hear it. All he was concerned about is, who is this man? And it was Elijah. He and you and me are responsible how we hear, how we listen, and what we do with it. Don't be like Ahaziah, who heard the word of God and didn't even respond. Jesus said, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. Be responsible with how you hear. The people of Israel heard a lot from the prophets. Ahab heard a lot. Jezebel heard. Ahaziah heard, even now, but he didn't hear. He didn't have ears to hear. Take care how you listen. Beware of hearing God's message without hearing God's message. We could say, take care how you read. When you have your devotion, when you read your Bible, sometimes we could read sloppily. Sometimes we could be here Sunday morning when Tom is preaching, or Josh is preaching, or John, and our minds are 1,000 miles away. We're hearing the words, we might even be taking notes, but we're really not listening. Take care how we listen. You can hear it and even repeat the message, but not get it. Not listen and not take action. Don't be like Ahaziah. Take care how you hear the word of God. It goes forward in verse 9. He didn't hear the message. He sends a captain. The king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50. And that captain went up to him, and behold, that's Elijah, was sitting on the top of a hill. Some say it was back at Carmel. We don't know, somewhere near Samaria. And he said to him, O man of God, the king says, come down. Elijah replied to the captain of the 50, If I am the man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50. Then fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. A horrific scene. A horrifying scene because of idolatry. Because Ahaziah did not honor his God. He didn't have faith in the God of Israel, the covenant God, even after he heard the message of the prophet. We don't know exactly what Ahaziah had planned for Elijah. Maybe to ask questions, maybe to put him to death. Why would he send 51 men, and not just any men, military men, unless he wanted to do damage to that prophet? Reading between the lines, 51 men, a captain with his platoon, as it were. Come down, the king says. Elijah would not go down. He would go down when God told him to go down, but he would not listen to this wicked king. He was under the command of God, not this idolatrous king of Israel. He was also not intimidated by the military might, because he had God as his God, and he would call down fire to destroy them. Very similar to Mount Carmel, where he called down God's fire to consume the sacrifice, the altar, the water, the stones. Here, 51 men. But Elijah was not an ordinary man, and we could even think of the disciples when they thought to imitate Elijah. You can read that section. But commenting on Elijah, the Puritan Joseph Hall said, There are few tracts of Elijah that are ordinary and fit for common feet. His actions are more for wonder than for precedent. The disciples and we ourselves do not call down fire on people. Elijah was one of a kind, really. Moses and Elijah. This man was extraordinary. Calling down fire from God? Maybe God was sending a message to Ahaziah, I am the same God that you heard about on Carmel. I sent fire on all that was on that altar, and now I send fire on your own lieutenant and his men. Thinking of the phrase, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. Ahaziah had not heard the truth, or he just never heard it. Clearly, he didn't have faith to believe what God had done before. He was doomed. He persists. He still doesn't get it, verses 11 and 12. So he again sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he said to him, O man of God, thus says the king, come down quickly. Elijah replied to them, "If I am the man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50." Then the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Ahaziah didn't learn. He sacrificed another 51 men to the fire of God. He still didn't get it. He heard the message, but he didn't believe it. He didn't fall down on his knees and cry for mercy. This captain pushed a bit harder. Did you hear the word quickly? The first said, "Come down by order of the king." This captain says, "Come down quickly." But Elijah would not budge and called for the same judgment. Lesson 6. See the irrationality of the sinful mind as God's judgments are trifled with. Sin is so irrational. The sinful mind is so backwards. God just judged 51 men with fire, and Ahaziah sends another 51. He is irrational. That's what sin does to men and women. It makes them irrational, and then God's judgments are trifled with. 51 of his men were just burned alive, and he sends 51 more. Sin makes men irrational. Those men are burned, and what does he do? He sends a third group, verses 13 and 14. So he again sent the captain, and this man's dying on his bed. Imagine, he's laying on his bed, getting closer to death, and he sends a third group. Again, he sent the captain and a third 50 with his 50. When the third captain of the 50 went up, he's different. He came and bowed down on his knees before Elijah and begged him and said to him, "Oh man of God, please let my life and the lives of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Behold, fire came down from heaven and consumed the first two captains of the 50 with their 50s. But now let my life be precious in your sight." This captain was wise. This captain pled for mercy for himself and his men. We don't have any more information, but maybe he feared God. He says, "Your servants." Not wanting to read too much into it, but he saved his life and the life of his men by crying out for mercy. He humbled himself. He fell down on his knees. He didn't say, "This is the third time, Elijah. You're going to die if you don't come with us." No, he pled for mercy. And God answers in mercy. Verse 15, "The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him.' So he, Elijah, arose and went down with him to the king. And he said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed where you have gone up, but shall surely die.'" Elijah's mission continued beyond Ahab to his son Ahaziah. And where does God send Elijah? Back to Samaria. And Jezebel was still alive. She had not died yet. And Ahaziah very well wanted to put Elijah to death. So God says, "Do not be afraid of him." I love these words. Do not be afraid of him, Ahaziah, and by implication, even Jezebel. We hear the words over and over again in the Bible. Do not fear. Do not fear, I am with you. Do not be afraid. It's a command of comfort. A command of comfort. Do not be afraid, Elijah. Go down with him. Remember that word go over and over again to the prophet. Go, go, go. Not when Ahaziah said come down, but now when God says go, Elijah went. He took action as he did from day one. He was a man of action. He went down and spoke these words to Ahaziah. Were they any different from the first words? He had the same message from the beginning, which we've read several times because you went to that God and not the God of Israel, you're going to die. The last lesson is this. Repetition without the grace of God is meaningless to a hard heart. Repetition, which we have three groups here, three times, without the grace of God is meaningless to a hard heart. Ahaziah. God's word is a savor of life or a savor of death. It either hardens or softens. There's no middle ground in how you listen. And a hard heart will not be won even by repetition except by the grace of God. We must have repetition with people, but God must bless it. What these pictures are amazing. The repetition is very emphatic. We may even grow tired of hearing the same words over and over, but to a hard heart, it was meaningless. Again, take care how you listen. Children, maybe you think this Sunday school is just for adults or this story is just for adults. Is there a boy in Scripture who listened to God? Does anyone remember who the boy was, kids? I heard it. Not from a kid, though. Kids, there's a hero in the Bible that you should know about. His name was Samuel. Samuel was an example of a good listener. Remember his words to God in 1 Samuel 4:10? Speak, for your servant is listening. Speak. That was a boy. He may have been 10, 9 years old. We don't know. You can say to the Lord, kids, to your God who made you, speak, Lord, your servant listens. Let alone adults. This is what we ought to have. We have as our mind before God. Your servant is listening. We are your servants. A theme all through the Bible. We are the slaves and servants of God and of Christ. Speak, Lord. Give us grace to hear and to do so that we wouldn't be like Ahaziah who heard again and again and again and yet died an idolater, died in his sins. Be careful how you listen. You can Google John MacArthur has a good sermon. You can read it or hear it with that title. How does it end? Verses 17 and 18. Sadly. A direct message from God. Ahaziah doesn't repent. He hardens his heart. So Ahaziah died. So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord which Elijah had spoken. The mouth of the prophet was not insignificant. And because he, Ahaziah, had no son, Jehoram became king in his place in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? Not the Chronicles that we have, but other books. He died because of his idolatry, a special judgment from God. And he had no one to take the throne. He had no children, no sons. So this Jehoram became king in his place. Did you notice the passage? There's two Jehorams. Sometimes God's word takes careful reading. We can get tripped up. There's two Jehorams. One, this new king of Israel, which chapter 3, verse 1 says was another son of Ahab. But then there was another Jehoram right here, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. So Jehoram, king of Israel, Jehoram, king of Judah. How can we keep it straight? It takes study. We can get confused. To make it a little more challenging, there's actually two Ahaziahs. The king of Israel, our character from this chapter, but later in 2 Kings, there was an Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah. So we have to always be careful. It's like the James in the New Testament. Or John, we can get tripped up. Even at our own church, we have several people with the same name. We have to be careful, especially with Scripture. But Ahaziah died because of his idolatry. In review, and we have time for questions, and I resolve to get to that today. Parents, beware, our bad habits are easily learned by our children. Sobering, Lord, help us. Second, see the folly of praying to gods who have ears but cannot hear. We listed off all the gods before. Whatever false god you're tempted to, they can't answer prayer. They can't help you. Third, when we face disaster, let us not act like there is no God. We should, on the contrary, when we have trouble, run to our Lord, the God of the Bible, for help. Four, lesson four, the wages of idolatry is death. It's no small sin. It's not a joke. Idolatry requires death. That's why Jesus had to die on the cross, because we're by nature idolaters. Fifth, beware of hearing God's message without hearing God's message. This morning, in the next hour of worship, beware how you hear. Be careful how you listen. Sixth, see the irrationality of the sinful mind as God's judgments are trifled with. He saw these judgments, but he didn't respond. We see the flood. If we just had a few of God's judgments on sin, we should be terrified and humble ourselves and run to him in repentance. But sin trifles with God's judgments. Let us not do it. And seventh, repetition without the grace of God is meaningless to a hard heart. It was true then of Ahaziah. It's true in our day. If you talk to a hard-hearted person, they refuse to repent, but for the grace of God. No argument, no perfect sermon, perfect gospel tract, perfect rebuke. It will all only be a means of hardening without God's grace in Christ. Well, before we pray, any questions or comments about our passage here today? Okay, let's conclude with prayer. Father, thank you for your word, which is a light to our path. Even these horrific characters like Ahab, Jezebel, Jeroboam, Ahaziah, Lord, they warn us. And as your covenant people, even of a greater covenant, the new covenant, Lord, how much stricter judgment if we trample underfoot the Son of God. Father, may we be careful how we hear. May we press on in Christ. May we humble ourselves before your word. May we be careful how we listen. Father, even for these precious children here today, may they be like Samuel and not like Ahaziah. Lord, may we all say, "We are your servants, speak." And may we listen and do, Father, that you would be honored. May we not act like there is no God. There's no God in Israel. Indeed, you are our God, the true God. You saved us by the power of Christ, and we thank you that Christ died for our idolatries. Lord, forgive us for running to other people, things other than you. And may we, even in the hour to come, have great worship. And through the week, would we be a church that worships only you, that idols would be trod underfoot, and we would be lovers of God by your grace and for your glory. We thank you for this section of Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen.